You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday evening, September 28th, here we are in Memphis, Tennessee. Once again, Keith Alexander here in the studio with me tonight. And, Keith, we have a veritable gallery in-house this evening. We're going to have a special guest from Alabama join us. She's actually in the studio, and I said she, ladies and gentlemen, actually in the studio with us right now, and is going to be the centerpiece of the program in the third hour. And we've had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with her today, Keith. Without giving away the store, you want to give the audience a little teaser, perhaps, of what's to come? I know you're making just a cameo tonight, as it were, Keith, dressed in your Sunday's finest, going out to a dinner engagement, but you did want to make a brief appearance tonight. Tell us a little bit of what we have in store for the audience this evening.
Well, we have the one and only Courtney from Alabama here tonight. She's going to provide the feminine touch we need so much on this radio program. She's going to talk about two particular topics that are going to be really good tonight, and I'm going to leave those unstated at this time so that people, it's kind of like a teaser. You'll have to stay tuned to find out what they are, but that's going to be great. Plus, we've got the one and only Eddie Miller. He's bringing his fire hose and his flamethrower in here, and he's going to, bazooka, and he's going to pull out all the stops as usual. So, put on your seatbelt and be prepared for a wild ride.
I wish, ladies and gentlemen, that tonight we were a television show instead of a radio program, because I just want you to get a load of how impeccably dressed Keith Alexander is this evening. Keith, I really wish I owned that jacket. You want to tell the audience who you're wearing tonight?
Who I'm wearing?
I thought you would ask if the fashion
were. Well, here's what I've got on. I've got on a houndstooth check, earth tone blazer, 3-button. Classic styling, okay, with a pair of gray flannel trousers, a pair of tan Allen Edmonds tassel loafer shoes, a autumn striped tie, a light blue cotton Oxford button-down shirt, and a tie clasp, along with an alligator belt with a gold initialed belt buckle. Is that enough? And I'm also wearing knee-length black socks. we won't get into the underwear, okay?
That was actually quite a bit more detailed than I was hoping for, Keith. You went the extra mile, my friend, and I appreciate that. But he really is a sight to behold tonight, ladies and gentlemen. His wardrobe this evening matches his intellect. And as I said, Keith has a dinner engagement that he'll have to be leaving for in just a matter of minutes, but there is one particular story that was just right up Keith's alley, and it was sent to us by a listener, right up his wheelhouse, he said. Sent to us by a listener, and we're going to talk about that after the first break, let Keith sink his teeth into that, and then he is going to be out for the evening. Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be in for the bulk of the show tonight. We've got a lot of stories to cover. I really think that we have a particularly interesting assortment of items to share with you tonight that have been featured on our website this week, the ever-popular politicalcesspool.org. But again, I guess you'd have to say the main event tonight is the fact that we do have a longtime listener in the studio with us this evening, in the flesh, Courtney from Alabama. She is such a icon of the show, really. On the blog, I think she has her own fan club on the blog and her own following, and rightly so. She's been commenting on there. How many years? She's answering now, if you can't hear on the...
Since spring of 2010, but I've been listening since 2006.
She has been listening since 2006. She was there very nearly from the beginning of our run in October of 2004. So another long, long-time listener. That would make it 7 years and counting if she started listening in 06, making Her second trip to Memphis. We actually had the opportunity a couple of years ago, Keith, to show her around town, but this is her first time to actually sit in for a broadcast live in the studio she's doing tonight, and it's something she's wanted to do for a while. So all the fellow posters on the blog will be excited to hear what she has to say tonight.
All I want to know is, Courtney, did you know James when he had a full head of hair?
I don't think she knew me that long. I did have hair, though, believe it or not. When this show started, I had hair, and it quickly went, for obvious reasons, not long into our run. This kind of stress and wear and tear will get the best of any man. But, you know, the thing is, though, and I think we can all agree, looking at that picture of me in my trench coat there with Pat Buchanan, which graces the wall, I get better looking every year. You look at me right there with Frankie Valli on that side of the studio. You just see the logical progression. If this keeps going, Keith, there's going to be a lot. It's going to be very dangerous by the time I'm 40, I think. I want you to confirm that, Keith.
Well, I'll take the Fifth Amendment. I can't confirm that. No, you look great with a lot of hair back then. How old were you then, 15 or what?
Well, let's see, right there with Frankie, that was 1999. I'll tell you when that was. That was Biloxi, Mississippi, New Year's Day, 1999 with Frankie. And there's me with Johnny Rivers. That was a couple of years later. And actually, the progression of my life starts on that wall and goes down here. There's a picture of me and Eddie Miller at a conference in, 2008. And then I just kind of stopped doing a photo documentary of my life. It just all became, I guess I tried to document my early years in this, but I've stopped taking so many pictures now, but they're also on the wall. The honorary city councilman, certificate of recognition from the city of Memphis, and then the certificate of recognition that the Memphis City Council presented to the political cesspool in appreciation of outstanding contributions to the community. You know they wish they could take those away, Keith.
Well, the one I like best is the certificate you have for being the person, one person in the world that has seen the most performances of Jersey Boys that you have.
Well, I give them, I'm a run for their money. I actually have become friends with a fellow Frankie Valli fan who I see. She's a great lady. Her name is Bernice. Bernice, if you're listening tonight in California, we love you. She has seen, I can't remember, she would get on to me for not knowing this. I'm thinking somewhere near 150 Frankie Valli concerts. I'm close behind her. I'm living at her heels, but she's got me there.
Yep. I tell you what, if there was ever a loyal Frankie Valli fan, I mean, you need to be, yeah, you're the male championship holder of the Frankie Valli Loyalty Award, and Bernice must be the female and also the overall champion, but you're right there.
Well, thank you, Keith. You know, we all strive for great things in life. I tell you, when Frankie dies, God forbid, and don't hasten the day, the very next show after he passes is going to be 3 hours of song. You know how they did when Elvis died, where they just played Are You Lonesome Tonight for like 24 hours straight on the radio here in Memphis? That's going to be the show of the political set. We're just going to play Frankie Valli songs 3 straight hours. That's what we're going to do.
Now, Courtney has her own special favorite group. Guess who it is? Stay tuned, and you'll find out after these words from our sponsor.
And I promise, when we come back, we're going to talk about something of substance. Just give us some time. Be patient tonight. We're having a good time this evening, and we're reveling in it, but we're going to get down to brass tacks in just a second. Stay tuned, everybody. We're just getting started.
September is National Preparedness Month in the U.S., and it's National Savings Month at Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans are now 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These easy foods for camping, backpacking, hunting, and sailing are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These delicious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness, are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. All cans of Mountain House freeze-dried meats, entrees, fruits, and veggies are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. Be prepared and save 40% now through September 30th at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, I can literally feel the audience bleeding away here after the first segment, but get serious here, but after a little more lightheartedness, I got to ask this. Without pit stops being factored in, Courtney, how long was it one-way trip from your point of origin to Memphis in terms of hours? About nine?
Nine total with stops.
About 9 hours. 9 hours one way, folks. She drove to be with us just for a 3-hour live broadcast, turning around, going home in the morning. That's dedication. That epitomizes our audience, Keith. And we're glad to have you here. We really are looking forward to the third hour. Courtney's going to be center stage third hour, going to actually be contributing to the show. You know, we've done this a few times with other listeners, Keith. One gentleman who we were talking about earlier this evening, an incredible man, actually flew from Western Canada to be with us. So I guess that even beats Courtney. His flight was about as long as her drive, so... Anyway, always great to meet the fans, however they present themselves, whether it's coming to Memphis to see us, as they do on occasion. We're always happy to receive them, or if we're at a conference giving a speech, what have you. Real quick, Keith, before we get down to the pressing affairs of the evening, you were going to answer the question you posed, Courtney's favorite band, and then a quip from another listener in Florida. Then we're going to get down to work, folks, I promise.
Her favorite band is the Beatles. Unashamedly, I asked her, does that include the entire British invasion? No, indeed. The Beatles and the Beatles alone. Now, that reminds us of a quip from a listener named Curtis who said that our staff was like the Beatles. He said that James was Paul McCartney, that I was John Lennon, that Winston was George Harrison, and that Eddie was Ringo, who they let sing every once in a while.
Well, there you have it, folks. But I'll tell you what, those four pieces put together, you got something pretty special. I wish we could make as much money as they did. There's still life left in us. We'll see. That's the goal. All right, Keith only has a few minutes remaining tonight, a short appearance from him this evening. But there was one topic above all that he just had to come and opine on. before leaving to go to a family dinner function. It deals with the Brown versus Board of Education decision, which is Keith's, I think, signature topic, if I had to pick one above all others, that he just has a mastery of. A quote was made recently in a radio interview. A former Bush administration official claims, with regards to Brown versus Board, that segregation works, but it's wrong. And Diane Ravitch was formerly a U.S. Assistant Secretary of Education working under President George H.W. Bush. She's currently a research professor at New York University's Steinhardt School of Education, Culture, and Human Development. Had this to say during a recent radio interview, and we provide the recording times for quote sourcing on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Here's the quote, Keith. I'm going to read it, turn it over to you. This is what she had to say. Now, maybe what he'll do is find a charter school that only accepts kids with high scores. Then he'll get a better quality of education. Keep the poor kids out. Resegregate them. Keep them locked in the ghettos where they won't be near his kids. And then we will create in this country a dual school system such as we had before Brown versus Board of Education, where the poor kids and the kids who don't make it and the cutoffs are segregated, where the kids with disabilities are kept out of school, where the kids who are English language learners are kept out of school. That works, but it's wrong. A couple of things there quickly, Keith, before we get to the biggest point, where she admits that there's a higher level of education under segregation and that it does work, but just that it's wrong. Number one, there wasn't that many English language learning students in the public school system prior to Brown versus Board. I mean, how many people in America couldn't speak English in the 40s and 50s? Not very many. So that there's some fallacy in her rant there. And then number two, she said that the poor kids were kept out of the public school systems prior to Brown versus Board. Well, my mother and my aunt and my father went to the public schools before Brown versus Board, and they certainly didn't come from rich families. So a couple of things there she's just totally off base about. But she's right about one thing, Keith. What is it?
That you had better education, better results, higher test scores, higher achievement test scores under racial segregated schools than you have under racially integrated schools brought in by the Brown decision. You know, this shows you the crazy doublethink of liberals. If it gets better results, then it's better, period. There is no doubt that you had better results in educational achievement under racially segregated school systems than you did under racially integrated school systems. The evidence is everywhere, and denying it is like denying that the emperor has no clothes. All you have to do is look back at the aggregate test scores on the ACT and the SAT at a school before 1954 in Memphis that existed, like Central High School, East High School, Booker T. Washington High School, a black school, and today, and you will see that there were higher test scores on average then than there is now. But we're all supposed to believe that somehow education is better and that diversity, multiculturalism, racial integration were unmitigated goods. You know, the emperor has no clothes, people. There's no question that you had a better school system with better achievement back then. Poor people weren't allowed to go to school. Excuse me, I was poor. I went to an all-white school, a school that is now in a section of town known as Orange Mound, which is one of the worst black ghettos in the nation. And at that time, you didn't have any special charter school, no magnet school, nothing that was out of the ordinary. I went to people ask me where I was educated. I tell them I went to two of the 46 worst schools in the state of Tennessee, according to a compilation that was done in 2002. I went to Cherokee Elementary and Hillcrest Junior High and High School. And those were very ordinary schools, but you could learn calculus there, you could learn physics there, and I did. You could go on to college and go to a selective private college and graduate Phi Beta Kappa like I did. Lots of people did that. That's why public education has gone into the crapper, folks. It's gone in there because of liberalism and liberal nostrums. people need to tell the emperor that he has no clothes. Tell them that your experiment has failed. We're not going to pour more money. We're not going to sacrifice more kids and their futures on this failed experiment called liberalism. Let's turn back the clock to 1950. Let's have a great America. America has been descending as a world power since the Brown decision, and it's not a coincidence, folks. Liberalism is a corrosive factor. We say and like to say on this show that liberalism is the modern face of evil. This is one of the manifestations of the evil, the decline and fall of the United States of America and its educational system.
You know, interesting enough, Keith, and I appreciate that. I mean, we had to get, I'm actually shaking the hand now, folks, of Keith Alexander the Great. We had to get a little bit of your intellect tonight in the show. We were able to infuse it, if only for a segment. But interestingly enough, my father was born in September of 1954, so just a few months after the decision and the, really, and I think you hit it quite rightly, the turning point in American culture. A time where the zenith had already been reached and the descent had begun. And is that putting too much emphasis on the Brown decision, Keith? We only have a couple of seconds remaining.
No, I really do think it's a turning point. I think America has been in a steady state of decline since May the 17th, 1954, when the Brown decision was handed down. They called it Black Monday, and they called it correctly.
Keith Alexander, everybody. Keith, we'll be talking to you next week. Eddie has just walked in the studio out from the green room. And here we are. We got a full complement of... hold on, Keith. You better take off those headsets. Full complement of people. We got a basketball team here. We can go out and play some 5-on-5 here in the studio tonight with everybody we got in here. We're going to take a break and be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American-first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one-world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Paperback writer.
Courtney from Alabama. Our engineer has outdone himself just on the whim in passing of Keith mentioning that Courtney's favorite band was the Beatles. We had a little paperback writer to bring us back in from the break. And as I understand it, we're going to have a assortment of Beatles songs going forward in tonight's program. So it's just, look, we roll out the red carpet for our guests.
Thank you.
What can I say? Eddie Miller here now. Getting in early tonight. Eddie, what's it like to be in prior to the second hour? This is uncharted territory for you in a while. This is Keith's time.
Well, I'm still trying to wake up. had a really nice day today. As everybody knows, I run marathons for St. Jude. And I was just telling Courtney that the next oldest person in our group is 26 years younger than me. And then it drops off from that. From 40, it drops off down to from 18 up into the mid-20s. Probably the average age, 24 or something right around. So that's why I left 31 minutes early this morning on the 16-mile run and saw some skunks on the way and just had a high old time. But, yeah, it feels good. I'm not as tired as usually am. I'm locked and loaded, ready to go, ready to get loose the twin 20-millimeter cannons, the 50-caliber machine guns, and drop some napalm, son, and eat some Mississippi mud that Courtney brought us.
That's right. I failed to mention it. We are more or less having a celebration tonight than doing a show, I guess. We did have about 5 minutes of seriousness there with Keith, and now it's just evolving all over again. But we're going to get back on track. Courtney did, though, bring us a pie. We're going to enjoy that in a little post-show celebration afterwards. Eddie, you actually called me with this next story that I want to cover. And I just marvel at how much you and our dear friend Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio, host of the Liberty Roundtable, frequent guest on the show. This man has done so much for our program. He is really owed a debt of gratitude each and every week. Every time you hear the Political Cesspool live, thank Sam Bushman, folks. Without him, we wouldn't be here. But he had emailed me this story. I guess not long after you called me. What I was getting at is I just marvel at how much you and him are in tune on issues and on stories. If it's a story that interests him, it interests you and vice versa. But he had emailed me this, Congressman Walter Jones, saying on the Alex Jones show last week that Barack Obama must be impeached. Sam sent that story to me. You called me, Eddie, while he was on the show. You were actually tuned in live to Alex Jones and at random and heard Congressman Jones come on, no relation to the host of the program. But at any rate, you were listening, and this is what he had to say. And, of course, everybody will remember that Congressman Walter Jones, a Republican out of North Carolina, famously made an appearance on the Political Cesspool last fall, then showed incredible honor by doing what Paul Bebeau couldn't do, which was stick to his guns and defend his decision to appear with us. It made some news, and he didn't back down a bit. He says, listen, I'll go on any show that's licensed by the FCC, and you don't tell me what they're about. I'm going to take my message anywhere that'll have me, and that's what he did. He made news again last week. Jones said he is still willing to file for Obama's impeachment for bypassing the Constitution and bypassing Congress to bomb another country, but that in the short term, Russia has helped stall the president from waging another unnecessary, affordable war. He got off from that and really hit a couple of great points. I'm just going to kind of hunt and pick and choose, do a little cafeteria-style selection here of the comments Congressman Jones made on the Alex Jones show last week. He said there's got to be some sanity to these foreign policies of any administration, and particularly this one now. He said, explaining that the United States and its current fiscal insolvency cannot afford to be the police of the world. We've been saying that for years. I mean, it's not an original idea, of course, but we certainly agree with him on that. He goes on to say, we can't pay our own bills, so we can't police other countries. We can't even police our own border. We're a debtor nation. We cannot even pay our bills without raising the debt ceiling of America so that we can borrow money to pay last year's bill. This whole place up here, talking about Washington, the greatest little whorehouse in the world, is out of control when you come to foreign policy. Let's wake up. Let's rebuild America, and to hell with the rest of the world. This is United States Congressman Walter Jones speaking. He slammed Obamacare, saying it's one of the worst pieces of legislation he's ever seen since the Bush administration's No Left Behind Act. He said that Obamacare would just bankrupt America, pure and simple. Of the Navy Yard shooting, and you and Sam Bushman, particularly Sam, did such a great job of covering that, and Sam's been following up on it more this week, continues to play out. But of the Navy Yard shooting and the subsequent attacks on the Second Amendment, Jones said that the level-headed approach is that, quote, if a person is going to commit mayhem, they will get whatever they need. I hate to say it, but it's true. You cannot punish the law-abiding citizen who is following his constitutional rights because it's not going to stop those who want to commit crime. And he's, of course, talking about more oppressive and restrictive gun control laws will only take the hands out of law-abiding citizens who would use them to defend themselves and their families lawfully rather than nuts that are going to commit crimes anyway. So talking about America being a debtor nation, and I saw that, the great plan to meet the budget coming up. You know, there's a crisis. How are we going to meet the budget? Well, their great plan, they really put a lot of thought into it this time, Eddie, raise the debt ceiling. Don't cut, don't budget, don't manage the budget. Just print more money, raise the debt ceiling, get more debt. That's the great plan of our government. I mean, how ingenious. It's just incredible that they're that smart. So he talks about that sensibly, talks about our fiscal insolvency, talks about Obamacare, talks about charging Obama with impeachment. Which, I mean, my God, the Newt Gingrich impeached Clinton for having an affair. This is far more serious. I mean, they're all criminally corrupt. But the one congressman that we had on the show in the history of our run is the guy making this much sense, and I think it's a perfect match because there's very few of them. I don't know where you want to begin, Eddie, but you were listening to this, and he just made a hell of a lot of sense on quite a few topics.
Well, I'll tell you what, James, I don't know if you remember or not, but quite some time ago, you're the one that brought to my attention that Davy Crockett once got into hot water, if I believe, for trying to appropriate some money for a poor widow. Her husband was killed or something like that. And he had a loyal supporter, who told Crockett he was not going to support him anymore because that was not Davy Crockett's money or the government's money to give. And that's so true. And the government has no money. I tell you what, there's so many impeachable offenses against this bogus president we have in office right now. You can't count them all. Let me count the ways, there's some crimes. The one I would like to get to, and I hope people don't get off of it, it's what Sam talked about last week. I want to know who gave the stand down order. And it came to me on the way home the other day, James. I will bet, and I don't mind going on a limb.
Did you get that email from Sam?
Sure did. I will bet that they have a crack. They have a crack unit in Washington, D.C. I'll make the SWAT team, the mother of all SWAT teams. When they got to the scene, they were told to go home. We don't need you here. I want to know who gave that order. And I'll tell you what, I'll bet everything in the cookie jar that came from Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. I bet you a dollar he gave the order. And talking about the government shutdown, for Christ's sake, shut that sucker down. It's just pitifully useless. It's nothing but, like James said, it's just a mass whorehouse up there of pedophiles and homosexuals. That's basically what you got. If you're in Washington, D.C. and you're not a pedophile, you are a homosexual or both. That's true. That's true. Read the Franklin cover-up, folks. Hey, I got an idea to shut the government down, how to save money. Fire the Congress. Fire the press. Let me tell you what. Put those suckers on Obamacare. Put them on Obamacare, just like they want all the unwashed peons like us. Put those suckers on Obamacare. Cut their pay off. I had a lady from our church sent me a YouTube about this Marine who has his eye blown out. He looks like he had smallpox and yellow fever and typhoid fever, and somebody tried to put his face out of fire with an ice pick. The poor guy just tore all to pieces. And the lady was contrasting him because they're holding up his health care. They're holding up his pay. Meanwhile, we've got these fat cat pedophiles in Washington, and I'll stand by that to the day I die. And I got my evidence from John DeCamp with the Franklin cover-up. It's there. It's there. There's mounds of evidence to show. And, you know, our loyal president was he was not a stranger to the bathhouse scenes in Chicago either. I mean, everybody in the know knows that. It's common knowledge. And another thing, while the people, you know, in the Baptist church were always, we loved to hate the Muslims. Well, it wasn't the Muslims that put that sucker in power, folks. It was the Jewish community in Chicago. They still pull the strings. I saw the article the other day, I believe it was Radio Liberty. It wasn't President Obama that appointed Geithner and all these clowns to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve appointed the president.
Well, we got to take a break, mercifully. I think either Courtney's got Pappy fired up tonight. Those Bombay doors opened a little bit early this evening. He's only one segment in. He's already red hot and rolling. We'll be back. He's going to go tank up, folks, get a little more gas.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We you know she's happy as can be. You know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. Baby says she's mine. You know she tells me all the time. You know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine.
All right, everybody. It's a party tonight in the studio. Let's just not even keep up appearances. If there's any professionalism going on tonight in the halls of WLRM Radio, it's a party. We have a guest and we're having a good time tonight. I'm so thankful that Peter Scoop Stanton has called in, because I hesitate to give the mic back over to Eddie after that that last impassioned soliloquy. I will say that there are probably some heterosexuals in Washington. There are some. You know, probably a disproportionate amount of pedophiles and homosexuals, but we won't say that they're – it's a little overzealous to say that it's 100%. So we want to be as close to rational as we can be every now and then on this show. But anyway, I like the passion, Pappy. It normally takes you a few minutes to get that fired up. I tell you, you are on fire early tonight. We got to bring you in. I guess by the time you come in during the third hour, which is typically your hour, you're just sleepy. We get you in early. We get the full. This is why he's called the Bombardier, though. I mean, Winston Smith didn't give him that name for nothing. That was a nickname that was earned. It was earned. But we do have Peter Scoop Stanton. Scoop, I wish you were here tonight with us rather than calling in. I tell you, the party's here in Memphis tonight, boy.
Yep, I know, but I'm ending the work. I'll have to let you go for a couple seconds as I'm trying to park the car, but. Anyways, to back up what the Bombardier was saying, because I was listening on the listener line, good evening, Cesspool family. Me living in the District of Columbia area, I see these old men always being escorted or by younger, really femmy looking guys. Also, a trend over here in the district is men wearing capri pants. If you don't know what capri pants is, they're tight pants that just go below the knee. They're popular amongst women, and I guess they're popular amongst here of the men of the District of Columbia. I was on the train two guys were talking, and they're the first thing from Cesspool listeners. And I wanted to vomit how these guys acted and carried themselves. I mean, I've seen more women on the trains, more masculine than men. But then again, some of the women on the train are men. In terms of government health care, October 1st is the start of Obamacare. And I'll give you a quick rundown on how great the government runs things. First off, we have the post office. The post office is a $1 billion a year money pit, and they are talking about reducing service from 6 days a week to 5 days a week.
Right.
And go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you've talked about so much that I want to comment on in your short time. First of all, you're out of line talking about men that wear capri pants, because Eddie is wearing those tonight. He's very upset with you. He's wearing that in his Dixie Republic shirt with a machine gun in front of the Confederate flag and his capri pants. So we'll ask you to apologize to Eddie. No, there's not. Eddie asked if he was wearing capri pants. Eddie's wearing cargo shorts. But he didn't. See, Eddie is so out of tune with fashion, Scoop, he doesn't even know if he's wearing capris or not. But nevertheless, the post office. And I just read, though, oh, my God, what a nightmare. I cringe every morning when I have to go to the post office to mail orders that come in for the cesspool, because I know I'm going to be there for about 2 hours to get up to the front of the line. They'll have five or six. Eddie, you go with me to the Bartlett post office from time to time. They have five or six booths, and maybe one of them will be manned. And you know what kind of service you're going to get. But they're going to raise the price of postage 3 cents, or at least it's proposed to raise a 3 cent increase on the cost of a first class stamp in January 2014. So it'll be 49 cents, nearly 50 cents to mail a letter. Prices go up, services go down. This is the government. And if Obamacare is administered anywhere nearly as poorly as they run the U.S. Post Office, you can imagine. And it'll be administered by the IRS. But, you can imagine how bad it's going to be. And then, except this, though, you're not just put out with poor service with mailing parcels. Your life's going to be on the line by these creeps. I tell you, folks, this is scary as hell. I mean, the Republicans are threatened to you know, stymie the government and withhold funding, but it's all just hot air. The Republicans never accomplish anything except threatening to do something that they never carry through on. They don't want it to fail. They just have to pretend they want it to fail so they can keep all these idiot conservative voters in their corner rather than pursuing true alternatives that could enact change. But, Scoop, you got me fired up.
Yep, and next boondoggle is Amtrak, the National Rail Passenger Service. That, too, is also a billion-dollar boondoggle. And through the Baltimore area, they're still using rail tunnels that's been in use since the Civil War. And finally, the boondoggle nobody wants to talk about is National Indulge Airport here in the District of Columbia. Up till 1987, the Federal Aviation Administration ran those airports, and then the federal government said, you know what, we can't run it, they're falling apart, bad management. So then the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority was created, and which is doing very, very well. And by its charter, it's not allowed to make a profit. Any money left over after operating expenses is returned to the tenants. And needless to say, Dulles and National are two very impressive cosmopolitan airports.
Scoop, I'm so glad that we have you calling in each week as our correspondent from the nation's capital. If there's one city that could possibly rival Memphis with regard to ineptitude, it has to be D.C., except for the fact that while Memphis has all the trappings of a third-world society, at least D.C. has the appearance of a first-world capital. I mean, it is the seat of the empire, and it is very impressive, at least aesthetically, in some parts of the district. I've had the opportunity to go there many times in my capacity as host of the Political Cesspool. Washington, D.C. is a very impressive city, just in terms of some of the buildings and the history there. But of course, as with any third world location with regard to population, it has those elements as well. Scoop, I know you've got to get to work. We have a caller from Canada that we want to take, and I know you're in a hurry to get in there and clock in. Thank you for your report tonight, and we'll look forward to hearing you next week.
All right, very well.
And Eddie says hello. Bye. All right, let's go to Chris in Canada, who's calling in from the Great White North. Chris, what can we do for you tonight?
Hey, guys. Just a quick note. You guys need to get a chat room.
We do need to get a chat. Well, we need to get the chat room back. Ever since our friends at the Council of Conservative Citizens, the thing that happened with the chat room is that we used to have it. I mean, for a while there, we had it for a few months, and what would happen is so many people would come in there, it would crash their website, and the website kept crashing, and they couldn't find a way to facilitate it. So we have to find, that is something we need to invest in. That is something we need to revive, because that was always a lot of fun. 100% agreement with
cool.
You, Chris.
You got some good listeners that actually are good chatters as well. However, you were talking about Obama and talking about impeachment. My question is how can you impeach an imposter? But do you not have to be a legitimate American citizen, citizen being a bad word, of course, but American to hold office in the White House?
Well, not anymore, apparently. I mean, the answer, not constitutionally speaking, of course, is yes. The current administration obviously proves that the Constitution's a paper tiger, so the answer, unfortunately, is no in practice. And so, yeah, that's a good question. How do you impeach an imposter? You don't. I mean, obviously, first of all, Walter Jones himself isn't going to be enough to get impeachment ramrodded through. The Republicans are equally complicit in the criminally corrupt nature of Washington, D.C. They're not going to do anything. They're on the same team. They fight for the same masters. Their strings are pulled by the same puppeteer. And so it's not going to happen. But I do believe Jones is sincere about that. So at least there's one man, one righteous man. Maybe that's what spared Washington, D.C. from the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah. There is one righteous man there. And it's the guest, the one congressman that appeared on the political cesspool. So I don't think that impeachment is going to take wing no more than they're going to defund Obamacare, but it's nice to romanticize about these things.
So I guess you'd have to throw treason out the window as well.
Well, if you were going to impeach everybody in D.C. that was guilty of treason, Walter Jones very well may be the only one left standing. I mean, there might be a couple. John McCain. I mean, certainly the list would be far greater of people. And I'm talking about, and I think people flippantly throw that word around, treason. You know, anybody that you disagree with is a traitor. But I'm talking seriously to the letter of the law, the letter of the Constitution, what constitutes treason. There would be far more members of the Senate and Congress and certainly the president that are guilty of treason or have committed treason on multiple occasions than those who have not. And that is the state of American government. These are who the citizenry, if you subscribe that the vote isn't rigged, which very well may be, this is who our docile, lemming-like society continues to elect and re-elect. I mean, John McCain will be in Congress for as long as he lives, as long as he continues to run. It's very scary, and we're coming up on a break. I wish we had time to continue this, but folks, we're just getting started tonight. Second and third hour still forthcoming, and the great Courtney from Alabama. I got to tell you how much she's prepared for her hour, folks, when we come back. Stay tuned.
The political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.